In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our sermon text is our gospel reading from Luke, the 11th chapter. Brothers and sisters in Christ, there is nothing more natural to the Christian life than praying. It's like breathing. You can't live without it. And sometimes it happens even without you knowing. And though we have set times for prayer as a church, as a family, as individuals, nevertheless, as Christians, we are to pray without ceasing. That is, constantly and continually. Most simply, prayer is talking to God. It's asking Him for things, thanking Him for things, telling Him your concerns and fears and sorrows and joys. It's our part of a conversation, a heavenly conversation, begun by Him in His holy word, with someone far more ready to listen than even we are to speak. And isn't it amazing that this most simple, most basic, most natural part of the Christian life is so difficult for us? How easy it is to grow weary in prayer, to be too busy, too lazy, too scattered in our thoughts, too anxious, and too overwhelmed. More than that, how easy it is to lose faith in God's promises, to ask and not receive, to seek His answer, His will, His plan for our lives, and not to find it, to knock on His heavenly door over and over and over and over again, and to find it closed to us yet again. How easy it is to lose patience, to give up, to find our own answers, to try to make our own way. It is for you who struggle to pray, who catch yourselves doubting the goodness of God, wondering if God even hears you, if He loves you, if He cares about you, because time and time again you have prayed and it seems as though God is silent. It is for you that our Lord gives us this gospel today, that you might be strengthened in faith, comforted in your struggle, and encouraged to continually draw near to God and to cast your cares upon Him. And today, it all begins with Jesus praying in a certain place. Now, isn't it interesting to find Jesus praying? I mean, Jesus is complete. He's whole. He's perfect. He is God of God, light of light, very gods of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made. So what on earth could He possibly be praying for? Most simply, He prays for your sake, not His. Jesus prays not because He lacks anything, but because of what you lack in this world, where you are daily assaulted by sin, death, and the devil, where there are natural disasters, terminal illnesses, disease, envy, strife, hatred, division, bloodshed, greed, covetousness, pride, arrogance, theft, murder, sexual immorality, and crass idolatry. Jesus prays for your sake. And if Jesus, the one who has no need to pray, prays continually, how much more should we, who have great need, pray continually? All of this is to say that there is no possible reason not to pray. For our Heavenly Father wants us to cast all our cares upon Him. He desires that you call upon Him in your day of trouble. He commands you to pray, praise, and give thanks. And He does it because He knows. He knows of the constant battle with your sin, the constant battle and struggle with fear, the fear of death, and the temptation and lies of the devil. God knows your great need and how easy it is in the midst of this battle for you to forget, to doubt, or to despair of the goodness and mercy of God. So Jesus says, ask, seek, knock. Now I want you to think back for a moment to when you were little, or perhaps even today for your own children and grandchildren. If you needed something, and you went running to your parents and you asked them, what happened? Or what do you do for your own children or grandchildren who ask you, I'm hungry. Do you provide food for them? If you hear a blood-curdling cry, do you not run to their aid? If you had a phone call telling you that they were in the hospital, would you not quickly run to their aid? If they were weeping bitterly, would you not throw your arms around them and comfort them in their sorrow? The point is this. If earthly fathers, though sinful and thus evil, give good gifts in answer to their children's pleas, how much more will the Heavenly Father, who is truly good, give the Holy Spirit and all that flows from Him to those who ask of Him? God hears our prayer and is far more willing to give than you and I are to ask. And what He gives is always better than you and I could ever imagine. For He has not left you in your sin. He has not given you over to the devil. He has not abandoned you unto death. Rather, in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem us who are under the law, that we might receive adoption as sons. We are the ones for whom Christ bled. We are the ones for whom He died. And we are the ones who, just like baby Sawyer, are marked with the cross of Christ on our foreheads and on our hearts, so that we always know that we are the ones redeemed by Christ the crucified. We are the ones who are adorned in the robe of Christ's righteousness that covers all our sins. We are the ones who, though our sins were like scarlet, now they are whiter than snow. Though they were red as crimson, now they are white as wool. Sin, disturb my soul no longer. I am baptized into Christ. And now not even the devil himself can accuse you of anything before God. For there is now no condemnation for you who are in Christ Jesus. Because now in Christ Jesus, you who were far off and separated from God have been brought near to Him by the precious blood of Jesus. You do not belong to the devil. You are a son of the living God. And there is nothing in all of creation that can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Satan, hear this proclamation. I am baptized into Christ. Drop your ugly accusation. I am not so soon enticed. Now that to the font I've traveled, all your might has come unraveled. And against your tyranny, God my Lord unites with me. And if that is the God that you have, the God of the living and not of the dead, the God who did not spare his own son but gave him up for you and then wakened him to everlasting life, the God who is for you and not against you, how will he not graciously give you all that he has promised you? In fact, he has guaranteed it when he wakened from death Jesus, the shepherd of his sheep. Christ is our life. Christ is our hope. And the one by whom we have access to the Father. And it's only in Jesus that we can call out, Abba, Father, our Father. Because he has put his Spirit in us and we live and we move and we have our being in him and him alone. And it is only in Jesus that our Heavenly Father ever promises to hear us and to answer us. And though you don't always get to see the answers to your prayers, it's not because you've done something wrong, or because that he didn't hear you, or that you just needed to bring it up a few more times. No. Sometimes we don't see his answer immediately, because like a good father, he knows what is best for us. And he desires to give us that, which may be different, or later, or bigger, or smaller than we first thought it would be. And thanks be to God that he knows what is best for us, and even more, that he desires to give it all to us. So be urgent in prayer. Draw near to God who loves to be kind. Ask for the Holy Spirit of God. Ask for strength that you might resist the fleshly lust and temptation of the devil. Ask to be free from coveting, that you would see all the things that God has given you as a gift. Ask for patience and gentleness, that you could love your neighbor as God has loved you and as you love yourself. Ask for calmness, that the tempter might fade away. Ask for food and drink, house and home, that you might provide for those under your care. Ask for joy, even in the midst of sufferings, so that you could delight in all that God has done and gives to you. Ask for mercy and forgiveness and hope and life. For that is who God is and how he desires to be for you. All these things your Heavenly Father knows that you need, and he delights in giving you all that he has promised. In Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.